Lord Jesus. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will love the Lord. I'm going to praise Him. We can praise Him right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I will praise the Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father. I will praise the Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, should go. And though the road be steep and rough, if He leads me, it's enough. Oh, I want God's way to be my way every day. Amen. Is that your prayer? Sing it with all your heart. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. And though the road be steep and rough, if He leads me, it's enough. Oh, I want God's way to be my way. How often? Every day. Amen. Once more. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. And though the enough. Oh, I want God's way to be my way every day. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon. Glad to see everyone with us. Of course, you know what this is. This is September, so we got to go over the birthday list for September. But like I said, God made the stars. He made them in September. Because listen to these superstars I'm fixing the list here that's got a birthday. Actually, Kern's got one today. We'll be singing double to him. Paul McFerrin, Sister Sharon, me, Charlotte, Big Al, Brother Al Kennard, Mary Brewer, and Sister Cleta's got one this month. She's a superstar too. So let's sing a little happy birthday. Remember, today is Kern's birthday.
All right.
Today, so.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday.
Amen. Remember the request we had from this morning? Sister Milka gave us one. Says, please remember my co-workers, Gene and Joan. Brother Donnie said, Brother Mark is not feeling well, stumbled with ulcers. So remember Brother Mark. Also, Brother Rhino gave me one. Says, thank you for your prayer for my dad. The doctors determine he has an infection in his blood and are treating it with antibiotics, and he should go home soon. So we thank the Lord for that. And Sister Angie Brown has an unspoken request. So remember that as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Still remember Mom, too. Remember Mom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. We know of some that are traveling, Brother Joe Canada and them, the family, and Brother Richard, I'm sure, will be traveling. And whoever else, Lord, is traveling today, be with them and guide them. Be with our services. Be with Wade. Give him strength. Lord, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, we have mentioned people this morning and this afternoon, Lord, that need a touch from you. You come down and bless them. Remember Mom and, Lord, the little fellow that had a wreck up in North Carolina and the family that lost a loved one up there, Lord, just continue to bless him. All the ones that are sick, Lord, come down and be with us. Be with us the rest of the service. Forgive us from all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. Yes, we are. Just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. We thank God for this opportunity to be back. Every time we look at this year, we just never imagined we would be facing things like this. But thank God that he kept us through a lot, all of us, and giving us opportunity to come back together. It's his grace. Amen. Something is bound to happen. Amen. When his children get together. Let's sing Feeling So Much Better. Talking about the Lord. Amen. We can talk about a lot of things, but to talk about the Lord. Amen. You always feel better talking about the Lord.
Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord. Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it. Talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord. Are you feeling better? Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it. Talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord.
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? 115. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. Isn't he? He's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, he is wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord? He's wonderful. Let him know he's wonderful this afternoon. Isn't he? Lord, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Isn't Jesus my Lord? He's wonderful. Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus our Lord? He's wonderful. Amen. One last time. Isn't he? You're wonderful, Lord. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. Isn't Jesus our Lord? He's wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful?
Brother Ray, can you help us, brother?
Thank you, Jesus.
We love you, Father. We just thank the service you've committed this afternoon. We give thanks to our Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 392. For a long time I traveled down a long lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sang low. Then I heard about Jesus' glory. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me his power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Thank you, Lord. Like a bird out of prison that's taken his flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. Think about it. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his holy name. Glory. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I traveled. For a long time I traveled. Amen. Down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. So glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Oh yes, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Amen. God bless you, brother. You can come on up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like a bird out of prison. Amen. We used to have a little dog and he had a cage, but you open that cage, he would shoot out of that cage and it would take hours trying to get him back. Amen. So when we're free, let's keep running. Amen. Praise the Lord.
That same spirit that raised Jesus up from the grave, amen, will change our bodies someday. Yes. Amen. Praise God. And it's got to be working in us even now. Amen. 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 So, key of D, Sister Esther.
Jesus said it is expedient for me to go away. But I'll send you another comforter to guide you from day to day. So they tarry at Jerusalem for power from on high. That same Spirit that they received within my heart abides. Oh, I can feel His Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty ocean wind. Oh, that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this old body up and take me home someday.
What a hope. Amen.
Oh, well, they laid Him in an empty tomb and they rolled a stone at the door. They put soldiers there to guard Him. Oh, they thought they'd done away with my Lord. But on that third day, the stone was rolled away and He came forth from the grave. And that same Spirit raised my Jesus up will take me home someday. Oh, I can feel His Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this old body up and take me home someday. Oh, well, they laid Him in an empty tomb, and they rolled a stone at the door. They put soldiers there to guard Him. Oh, they thought they'd done away with my Lord. Same things He has us. But on that third day, the stone was rolled away, and He came forth from the grave. Hallelujah! That same Spirit that raised my Jesus will take us home someday. Sing it unto Him now. Oh, I can feel His Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a running, rushing wind. Have made the it will rain this whole body up and take me home someday. Spirit dwelling deep within. Glory. Oh, and sometimes it feels so gentle, but sometimes like a mighty rushing wind.
Amen.
Well, let's that raised my Jesus up from death and from the grave.
You believe that? Give
praise
God a hand clap.
Amen.
Of praise.
Thank glory.
You. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. That same Spirit. That same Spirit that said, let there be. It's dwelling deep within inside of our heart. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here with us today. Good to be in service. God bless you, the ones downstairs, the ones that are watching in, the ones that are out in the car. May the Lord be with you. And keep you safe in this journey that we're in. I think it's checkup time. Every place we go and everything we do is just so much uncertainty and so much, well, I don't know if I can do this, and I don't know if I can do that, and I don't know if this is right, and I don't know if that's right. The only thing you can make right is yourself. The only thing you can make right is yourself. And that's what we're all striving to do, I think, is as we grow up with God, then I think it makes us realize that, as the prophet of God told us that many times that, you know, if you feel like there's something in your heart that you need to take care of, you need to take care of it. And I think it's maybe a little bit of checkup time with all of us, that if there's anything that's, I don't want nothing to hinder me. Don't want nothing to hinder the Spirit of the Lord moving in the building. Prophet of God said one unconfessed sin could make the whole congregation bitterly fail. So, you know, we need to just be sensitive about each other. This is just coming from me. This is not an incident that's happened. It's just that we all need to check up, just shake out, you know, let God clean you out. Sometimes the flus get stopped up. Amen. And who can unstop the flus? The Lord Jesus can unstop the flus, but you got to ask him, because he won't do it on his own. Because he's a very timid gentleman, the Holy Spirit is, and he will only come as you ask him to come. Amen. But we thank God for that, that we know that we have access to that Holy Spirit. We have access to the same man that said, let there be, that we're going to talk about today if we get to it. But just remember us all in our prayers. Pray for Brother Joe. I just talked to him. He has crossed the Florida line heading toward the mousetrap called Disney World. Josh asked me about 30-something years ago, I guess, or 20-something years ago. He said, Dad, when can we come back here? I said, when you can drive. And been sent. So, and I think he's been maybe a few times, but I'm not going back. Didn't leave anything down there, and don't want to go find anything that's down there. But just, you know, Brother Joe, they've got kids. I mean, I'm not belittling anybody. If you want to go, that's okay. But he's on his way down there, so let's pray that everything will be fine with them. Also remember, next Sunday, as Brother Dale said, we'll have communion, second service. After second service, we will have a communion, and we'll decide whether to we'll, you know, gather here or gather downstairs or gather out in the parking lot. So we'll just show up. We'll figure out what to do when you get here. Amen. And don't miss communion. And Wednesday night, Brother Dale's already said I'll be preaching. So just remember that. I'm trying to get through the list here. Remember the, Brother Kenny Capps boy. They're putting pins in his leg now. He's in surgery. Brother Joe's been kind of keeping up with Brother Kenny with that one. And then remember the family of the boy that died. Brother Neil Storm, a good friend of ours from Brother Mike Oltig's church, that was his grandson. 17 years old, or 15 years old. So we pray for the family, but it strikes home a little bit more when you know, I know Brother Luis knows Brother Neil. Well, beautiful, wonderful man, the song leader down at Brother Mike Oltig. So just remember him. That was his grandson. That was his daughter's child. So we pray that, you know, only God can give them solace, and only God can give them peace. You can't get peace from anywhere else. We don't understand these things, but you know, I think one day God will put his arm around us and he'll go, this is why I did that. He'll say, this is why I did that. This is why this happened like that. This is why I took the child when I took the child, or took the husband, or took the father. I believe he's a God, good enough God, that he'll put his arm around you one day, literally put his arm around you, and say, this is why I did that. It was for their good. I knew what they needed. So we just pray for Brother Neil and him. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We truly pray that you would sanctify us for this journey, Lord. And that you'll take care, Lord, of all things pertaining to life and happiness and all the things that we have here on earth, Lord. And we know you have your hand in it, because we're your little bride. And you said where two or three are gathered in your name, that there you'll be in the midst, Father. So we pray now that you're here close to us, Father, that you know there's things on our heart that we've been praying about, Lord. Now with Brother Neil and his grandson passing away, Lord, only you know the situation. And Father, we pray that you would minister to them, Lord. Minister to that family, minister to Brother Kenny Capps. We know him very well, Lord, him and his wife. Just be with them, Lord, and take care of them, Father, in this time of need. Lord, there's many needs all over the country, Father. Many things that we see coming in. Brother Dutch Scott keeps us abreast of many people that are sick, and things going on and around the message, and not so much that, but so much of physical, that Satan has started to attack us physically, because once we're behind the word, he can't get the word. He can't get our soul. Our soul is sealed in, plugged up, and ready to go up. But Lord, he has one thing he can play with, and that's our flesh. Lord, I pray today that you would, though we be in this house of clay, that you would take care of it, Lord. And that you would clean us all out, Lord, and forgive us of all of our sins and the many things that we do against you, Lord. And that we'll do a little checking up on our house to make sure that everything's okay, Lord. Make sure we read, study, and pray a little more than we used to, Lord. Lord, because you deserve all the praise and honor and glory. Everything goes to you, Father. You're the creator. You're the one that's going to take this thing to the very end, and we're going to sit down with you and live an eternity in a future home that's coming up, Lord, that will be right here on this earth. But Father, I pray that you'll take care of this flesh earth first, Lord, that you'll sanctify it for the journey, Lord, and clear out all the cobwebs and all the things, Lord, that so easily beset us, as Paul said, and run this race, Lord, knowing that you're the author and finisher of our faith. Father, be with us and take care of us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to 1 John. We're still continuing on Two Spirits, Part 3. And if we get to Let There Be, we'll get to Let There Be. If not, we will pick it up Wednesday night. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Now remember though, folks, if there's false prophets, there has to be true prophets. Amen? They're just not all false. There has to be a truth. Amen? And God's word is truth. We know that. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now remember, we was talking about this before. That doesn't mean if you go outside and you ask a drunk, if the drunk says, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Christ, that doesn't mean he's saved. That word confesseth means, like I said before, logos. It goes to the word. All right. If you'll look it up in the dictionary, in the Greek, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Now you got to believe that he's come in your flesh.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't do me any good to know that he came 2,000 years ago unless I know that he's right here today.
Right.
Amen. Because that's a historic God. There's a lot of history. I love the sermon that Brother Brown preached, taking God out of history. Because many people say, oh, he died on the cross, therefore I'm saved. Well, that don't mean nothing to you unless he's come inside your heart. Amen. And we don't know that. It's just hearsay. I mean, we're not eyewitnesses. But we know that this word tells us everything that goes on right here. This word is what we depend on. All right. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. So there's two spirits, right? There's not 8 or 10 or 50. There's only two spirits. When you come down to it, there's the spirit of Christ and there's the spirit of Antichrist. Everything underneath that is a list of things are, you know, you take Satan and you take God, but then you got Satan and you got diseases and you got all these different things, but it just comes from one spirit. There's an unholy spirit and there's a holy spirit, all right? Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now this is in John about AD 96, so that's been a long time ago. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Remember I said before, our conversation, when we were lost and out in the world of sin, they understood our conversation. They understood we were going to go get a beer. They understood we were going to go get a this. We were going to go get a that. But when you walk in one day and says, I don't do those things no more. I've asked God to come into my heart and I don't have a desire to do that. You know what? They quit listening to you because they can't understand what you're saying. How in the world? Well, get a little bit of God and you'll know. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's read Ezekiel before we sit down. Second one. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Wow. Who is this guy? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So it's not talking about a king, a physical king, Tyrus. Amen? It's talking about the devil. Because King Tyrus wasn't in the Garden of Eden. Okay, so it's an allegory talking of the devil. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thou wast prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Who created the devil? Who created Lucifer? God did. God created Lucifer. But he created him with a position and an ability to make a choice. I'll read you here in a few minutes. Well, it'll be later on that I was trying to find that quote where the prophet of God was telling us, and I finally found it, where all angels are put on free moral agency. Every person, even God, is a free moral agent. Remember, he wants all to be saved, but he only knows how many is going to be saved because of foreknowledge, right? He's not just a God that just says, I want everybody to die if you don't fall down. No, he's a good God. Right. But you got to remember one thing. He created Satan. He created Lucifer. Let's get that right. He created Lucifer perfect. Right. Until iniquity, and we'll read it in a little while, in Isaiah, till iniquity was found in his heart. Right. All right. So we know that one thing's for sure, that what we were talking about before, that God, I believe he created Lucifer first. Why would he create something lesser? Because we'll read here in a minute where Brother Brown said that Lucifer was God's right-hand man. Right-hand man. So you don't create your right-hand man way down the line. No, if he's going to be your helper, you got him right here. And that's the problem we have with the devil, is we think the devil is this all red suit. We look at him in Halloween and he's got the horns and he's got the fangs and he's got the blood hanging out of his mouth and he's got this big long tail. Isn't that what we've always been? We've been told that tale. Yeah. Satan is not that way. We're going to read it in just a little while where God said, you're beautiful. Right here it says in Ezekiel verse 12, it says, perfect in beauty. Satan's the most beautiful angel. Most beautiful angel. Why? Because that can be the most deceiving. How can you be deceiving? How can you be the epitome of deception and look like we think Satan looks like? You know, the boogeyman. No. No, he's slick. He knows how to work. God made him perfect. God made him beautiful. But iniquity was found in his heart later on. And we'll read that in just a minute. But we're talking about two spirits, because remember, there's only two spirits. Now, like I said before, when we started, I don't want us to get any person in mind. I don't want us to get any denomination in mind, because there's good people out in the denominations and we're not here to bash them, but there's a time if you turn the word down, if you turn the pure, unadulterated word down, then God has to move on. The denomination was good for a time, but then God has to move on. And when God moves on, he leaves that, because they can't go all the way with the word of God. All right. So, but we know that God's used all the different ones to get to today. That's why that I believe that we are standing in the end time. We're standing in the last. There is no other word to come. Right. We've got everything we need. Amen. When God sent us a prophet, he didn't send us a halfway one. He sent us a really good one. Amen. He sent us one to give us to tell us what the word says, and actually go back into the mind of God, and not just for him to go into the mind of God, but for you and I to go into that same mind. Because if you and I can't see this word, because you know what? It's the same thing as I said before. If you can't realize and see the word of God like you see it in the message of the hour, then Brother Brown's message is just hearsay. I mean, we do have some in here, Sister Cleta being one, that literally saw the man, and Frida was just a young girl, probably didn't remember that much because she was a baby. But some people did see him. But most of us did not. So it's just a tale. It's just something we heard. It's just something. But when God comes into your heart, cleans out all that and puts the Holy Ghost in, then if this person had the Holy Ghost, if William Branham had the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't deny that. Because the Holy Ghost can't deny the Holy Ghost. Everybody got that? Because listen, we're working with two spirits here. One is the Holy Ghost and one is an unholy ghost. Or an unholy spirit and a holy spirit. Everybody got that? Say amen. Because watch, now look in Matthew 24, verse 23. The Bible says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false devils. No. There shall arise false anointed ones. False anointed Christ and false anointed prophets. And shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know, we look at a lot of these signs and wonders and we know that we look at the great healing campaigns in the 40s, 50s, and in the early part of the 60s that all these different people were a part of. You know, you got your Shulers, you got your, you just lump them all in there. You got Jack Cole, you've got, Brother Branham, you've got all the different ones, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, all these different ones came through that same era. And they preached salvation as a message. Amen? I mean, they were God Spirit-filled men. They weren't anti-word. The Antichrist was there, sure, but not in them. But what happened is during that time, their healing campaign would kind of dwindle away, but then you got the prophet of God coming on there in the 60s and bringing us a message. Right. Bringing us the opening of the seals and the opening of things that man had never dealt with before. How in the world can we stand here today and read these quotes and then read these scriptures and that I can see how they dovetail and we can all see how they dovetail, because when we look at Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We immediately know that's exactly what the Bible says. You say, Matthew 28:19 says, baptize in the name of the Father. That is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right. Father's not a name, Son's not a name, and Holy Ghost is not a name. Right. You're not going to sign your check, Mother. Right. No, you're not going to sign your check, Worker of whatever. You're going to sign it by your name. Yeah. Amen? And I thought the Bible says that all the family in heaven and earth are named Jesus Christ. That's my identification. I identify with my name. That name tells me where I'm at and what I'm doing. So actually what in Acts 2:38 is the same scripture as Matthew 28:19. Same thing. Jesus told them, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing in the name. Not names, because they're not names. It's the name of the Father. What is the name of the Father? The Lord. What's the name of the Son? Jesus. What's the name of the Holy Ghost? Christ. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple. Once you see it. Okay, let's go to the first quote. Now, Jesus was telling us, now be careful. There's going to arise false Christ and false prophets. And they shall show great signs and wonders. Let's look at number one in demonology. The prophet of God tells us, yeah, there's false. There's true and false of everything. If I give you a dollar, say, is that a good dollar? Like I said before, a good counterfeit dollar, you can't tell the difference. Right. Now, Satan doesn't make a counterfeit dollar that you can tell the difference. He makes one that you can't tell the difference. Only what? A trained eye. Only somebody with the Holy Ghost is going to know these two spirits that we're talking about. Because right. As Jesus said, if somebody comes and says, oh, Christ is over here. Well, if you've got him inside of you, why do you want to go over there? Or if you do go over there, you don't know where he's at. He's inside of you. All right? So now look, I'm sorry, excuse me. And if Jesus said the two spirits, down here at the bottom, in the last day would be so close till it would deceive the very elect. That's what I just read you there in Matthew. Religious people. Now remember, now there ain't nothing out there in them old, cold, formal outside. They have just a form of godliness, you see. But these two spirits are real spirits, It'd be so close to it to see the very elect, how it was working side by side in the last days. Did Jesus say that? Sure he did. Number two, the God of this evil age, 1965. The two spirits, one of them God's Holy Spirit, the other one the devil's spirit, working in deception, not working in the bar joints and working in the beer, in the beer, you know, factories and no. Working in the church. The people of the earth are now making their choice. The Holy Spirit is here calling out a bride for Christ. He is doing it by vindicating his word of promise to her for this age, showing that it is Christ. If the finger is supposed to move in this age, then the finger will move. If the foot is supposed to move in this age, the foot will move. If the eye is to see in this age, the eye will see. The Spirit of God, as it's grown into the full stature of God, there's the key. We're not to be babies anymore. Paul told us to go on, you know, drink milk. That's okay, you know, have your baby food for a time. But when you grow up, you don't have baby food no more.
Right.
Amen? You grow up and eat strong meat, and that's what the age is now. Is the age that we're now living in, the Holy Spirit is here vindicating the message of the hour, and the Holy Spirit is doing this so that the people that believe God will be called out of this chaos. Now, my, would you not like to be called out of this chaos? Look, the devil's unholy spirit is here calling his church by error, as usual, by perversion of the word of God. He doesn't walk up to you and say, no, the word of God's not right. No, that's not deception. The deception is to be one word off. As when we get to the Garden of Eden and we see those two spirits working in the Garden of Eden, we see which one that Eve took hold of, and it was only one word. God said, if you eat this tree, you shall die. Satan said, you shall not die. And she took that one word, and that's why we're wearing a mask today. Amen? By perversion of the word of God, like he did at the beginning, see it coming back to that seed time again from Eden. Here it is again. Because remember, the book of Genesis is your seed chapter. Everything started in that book of Genesis. All right? So remember, as that started in the book of Genesis, God has shown the plan of redemption, and then in the book of Revelation, it shows the end of that beginning. So Satan had a beginning. Satan's going to have an end. If you're born of the Spirit of God today, you never had a beginning, and you never will have an end. Amen? All right, so let's read number three. Seed is not heir with the shuck. Remember, there was no more seed promised to a woman anywhere after Mary. And there is no more denomination promised after Pentecost. It's the rapture and the bride coming forth from there, the seed, the word made manifest again. I want everybody, if you got a pencil, a piece of paper, to write this down on the top of your notes. The spoken word is the original seed. That wasn't just a message that Brother Brown preached. That is so profound, and I saw something just a couple of days ago that blew my mind. Remember, he is the only one that has seed. I ain't talking about male seed. I ain't talking about seed of a flower. When you talk about God Almighty, he only has one kind of seed, and that's the spoken word of God. He believed his own word. Amen? Do you know a tree came from the spoken word of God? You know grass came from the spoken word of God? The seed didn't. That was the seed. I'll read it to you in a minute. There was the old adage, you know, Leah, did the chicken come first or the egg? Well, if you believe in creation, the chicken came first. Because God created a chicken. Then out of that chicken came an egg. But what created the chicken? The seed word of God. Because we'll see here that the God creates them, and then he tells them that every seed brings forth of their kind. Okay, same way with Adam and Eve. Oh. Where'd it come from? Spoken word. Spoken word. God didn't come down and plant a bunch of seeds. No, I believe he spoke it into existence, and then he told it to multiply. All right, everybody got that? Say amen. So now look, watch. Notice, See how close it looks. Matthew said, Matthew 24:24, we read, the two spirits in the last day. The church spirit, now look, the church spirit of the church people. Not the prostitute, you know, out in the world. No, it's church. Church people. And the bride spirit of the bride people would be so close together till it would deceive the very elect if were possible. That's how close. Now this is where I want to base everything on. Here's number four. I'm going to read some of these quotes and then we'll get back to the beginning. Because remember we were speaking last week on before the beginning. How can we go back before the beginning? We've only got the Bible that says God created the heaven and earth. But we go back into the mind of God where the prophet of God makes it so real how that this person called God Almighty would stand out in nothingness and create a world. From what? The spoken word. Read it. The spoken word is the original seed. Hey, this world you're standing on came from the seed word of God speaking. Everybody got that? Say amen. So now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people and a discrediting of God's word. Because that's what Satan does. Satan can't deny God's word. He just wants to discredit it. He can't deny. Because remember, if we got God standing here, and we got Lucifer standing here, the son of the morning, the anointed cherub, the angel that he created, sitting right here, God's right-hand man, he heard everything that was said. But the problem was, his problem was, he couldn't speak it. I believe that's what made him mad. God's out here having all this fun making the stars and the moon and making solar systems beyond solar systems and solar systems beyond solar systems. And the devil's going, can I? No, be quiet. Can I? No, hush. Because he couldn't create. He wasn't a creator. God is the only creator. So he's the only one that has a seed to create with. Amen. Satan doesn't have. That's why he's so powerless. If we'll look at it in that form, that Satan is a created being. But if you and I are born again today of the Spirit of God, you didn't have a beginning. That inside person that when you said, God saved my soul, and he came down and he cleaned out that old nature and he put himself inside there, Satan can't touch that. And he even made you a little creator when he did that. Amen? So Satan is a hate, and that's why Satan hates it. He hates that God's inside of a human being. He hates when God works through people. In what? Not out there. In here. In the religious realm. But the book of Revelation show how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and a discrediting of God's word. Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. Because remember, after all this, after even a, excuse me, after all, even 1,000 years, the Bible tells us that for 1,000 years that Satan is bound. He's not loose because he can't work in the people. He's not bound by chains. He's bound by, he has nobody to work through. The Bible tells us. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You've bound him right there. Oh, but no, that devil, he's such a big... I thought I read you last Sunday where the Bible, or last week, where the Bible says that we'll look at him one day and say, is that the man that took down nations? And he'll be like an old sot drunk laying in a ditch. And that's, but remember though, the guy's a fighter. He's going to fight him. We bind him for 1,000 years. And after that 1,000 years, he still thinks he's got a chance, which we know he does not. So that ought to make you happy. Because we have the devil's answer. The answer is this word of God that gives us power over the devil. Amen? He knows, he can't stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. Now, invincible armies never lose. Invincible armies never lose. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. Right here, today. Our false ideas and our things contrary to the Word of God. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Satan hates revelation, but we love it. And with true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Now let's go to number 5, exposition of the church ages. This is Jude chapter 3, 4, and then it also has 12. But let's read this right here. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, this is the next scripture, for there are certain men, not saints, crept in unawares. Those have not come into the fold by means of the door and are therefore robbers, who were before of old ordained. Remember what Brother Luis was preaching on, foreordination or foreknowledge. God knew that they would be reprobates. He knew they would take the word of God and turn it into lasciviousness. He knew all those things. But he allowed them to come on this earth. What? To try me and you. Because they're going to feast with us. I'll read it right here. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now listen, not that God chose them to be ungodly. Listen, God didn't even choose Lucifer to be ungodly. He gave Lucifer a choice. God cannot create the devil. Does that make sense? He created Lucifer. And we're going to see in just a few minutes that Lucifer means light bearer. He didn't make him a dark creature like we think, there's the opposition. No, he became the opposition by turning down the word of God. He turned down his position and wanted to get what? Higher than God. He couldn't help himself. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you. Not feeding out there somewhere, feeding with you, feeding themselves without fear. Wow. It cannot be denied in the face of these scriptures that the true church and the false church are intertwined. Remember Jesus told them, he said, look, remember they were talking about this certain group and a certain group. He said, look, leave them alone. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. Because when you got, like I was telling you, in my garden, you got corn and grass looks just alike until it gets up to about this high. Right? So you don't want to go out there and just whack it all down and say, I'll get all this grass up, and then you've cut down all your crop. You wait till it matures, and then Jesus said, wait just a little while and let the tares grow up and the wheat grow up, and then you'll be able to tell what? By their fruits, you'll be known, and you'll be able to what? Separate the wheat from the tares. The tares are to be burned, we know that, and the wheat is to be taken into the rapture. Amen? But right now, they're intertwined. Having been planted together, but of different seeds. Look at number 6. The consummation of the Gentile age. We there? Yeah, okay. This age is the last of the 7 church ages. What began in the first of the Ephesians must and will come to full fruition and harvest in the last or Laodicean age. The two vines will yield their final fruit. The two spirits will terminate their manifestation in each of their final destinations. The sowing, the watering, the growing is all over. Summer's ended. The sickle is now thrust into the harvest. Harvest time. Yes, and actually this is now harvest time coming up. Sister Milka reminded me this morning that this is barley season in Israel. September, October, barley season. Okay, anyway. The two spirits will terminate their manifestation. Harvest time, yes, harvest time. The two vines that grew together and intertwined their branches are now to be separated. The fruit of those vines, which were at such variance, will be gathered into separate garners. The two spirits will go to their separate destinations. All right, everybody got that? They'll go to their separate destinations. But now remember, they had to have a starting place. And that's what we were talking about last week. They had to have a starting place. Those two spirits, well, remember, we know that there was an act that happened in the Garden of Eden to throw us into sin. But remember, sin did not start on earth. Sin started in heaven. That's why heaven and earth will pass, have to pass away. Remember, the Bible says, O Lucifer, thou have fallen. All right, thou have fallen down. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Wow. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. I'm reading in Ezekiel, but I'm kind of paraphrasing. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Let's pull that up there if you don't mind. Look at verse 17. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, not because of thy ugliness. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy darkness. Nope, that's not what that said. Because of thy brightness. Listen, the devil don't want to be darker than God. He wants to be brighter than God. He wants you to notice him and not notice God. Because God came down in human flesh as a common man. No beauty that we should desire him. I'm reading scripture if you don't mind. But what here, and then here we reverse it and think, well, the devil's this, you know, this nasty. No. He is the most beautiful of angels. He is the most anointed of angels. God's right-hand man he was. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy kingdom, wisdom, by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. It keeps going on. So let's go to number 8 and read the seal of God. I'm doing a lot of reading today, but I want you to get, we're going to get down to something here in just a minute. I'd already read these the other day, so you ought to have known that. The seal of the Antichrist, 1955. If you'll notice, just about the time that Jesus came on the scene, Judas came on the scene. You got to remember, see here we go to the very beginning. Then God comes on the scene. He creates, the first guy he creates is Lucifer. Amen? That's his right-hand guy. Then you come down and you look down and they're thrown down to earth and you got Cain and Abel. Then we're going to keep on going through the Bible. You got Dathan, Korah, and Moses. You've always got God bringing somebody on the scene. Then you've got Elijah comes on the scene and there's Ahab. Right. Or then you've got Elijah come on the scene and there's Balaam. Right. You've always got opposition. So here when Jesus comes on the scene, Judas comes on the scene. Now, he is the epitome of deception. Judas is the epitome of deception. He talked with God. He walked with God. He prayed. He preached. He cast out devils. He sat beside of God. We believe Jesus is God. You know that. Amen. Not a second person. He was God. If he wasn't God, he was a deceiver. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right. Amen. So look, I want you to notice the nature of these two spirits. Now, Judas was a religious man. Remember, Judas, even to the very moment, Brother John, the very moment Jesus speaks in the upper room. Now, he's going to die the next day. He knows that, but they don't know that. Right? Right. He says, whoever is sopping in the bowl with me, listen to what he's saying. If he'd have just listened to what the word said. Whoever sops in this bowl with me is the one that's going to deceive me. It wasn't a Roman centurion. It wasn't even Caiaphas. Right. Though he be very religious. Though he was the head of the religious organization of the day. Right? They were out there, but Judas was right here. And even when Judas said, "Is it me?" the Lord turns and says, "Go do what you got to do." All the 11 was like, "Well, Judas is just going to go pay the bills. You know, he was the money. He was the bag holder. You know, he held the money. Yeah. He's going to just go pay for this meal that was last, this supper that we ate." How deceiving is that? Right there. And I believe that really, until they got into that upper room, they really didn't understand what really happened to Judas. Because remember, Judas right after that went and hung himself. Okay, and then they probably found out about that. And then when they went to the upper room, they found another Matthias and put him in place of Judas. But then they really understood that. They said, "Man, this guy was right here among us. The greatest deceiver was right here sitting with us. He was not 12 plus 1, Abby. He was not 12 disciples plus Judas out here on the outside. No, Judas was chosen by Jesus to walk with the disciples. One of the 12. You see what I'm saying here? So close that it could deceive the very elect, the two spirits. Now watch. And I want you to notice the natures of these spirits now. Judas was a religious man. He was not an infidel. And all of us know that he was the Antichrist. He worked the very closest hand to Christ, his right-hand man. Did you know that in heaven that the devil was God's right-hand man in the beginning? That Lucifer, the son of the morning. Now remember, we call him the son of the darkness. We call him the demon of darkness. He's called the son of the morning. That's daylight. That's when it first comes up and it gets bright. Did you know that in heaven that the devil was God's right-hand man in the beginning? That Lucifer, the son of the morning, was given power. And the reason that he brought sin into the world, he was able to take something that God had created and perverted it back into an evil thing, which started all this trouble in the beginning. Satan is not an originator, because that'd make him a creator. But he takes what God creates. That's why he's so deceiving. He's standing right there beside of God. You say, Satan can, yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, Brother Donnie, that the devil can talk to God anytime, as evil as he is. And we try to talk to God, and sometimes, you know, "Where you at, Lord?" Amen? You say, "How it proved that?" Well, didn't go to the book of Job. God said, "Hey, Satan, where you been?" He said, "Well, I've been up and down, you know, up and down, walking up and down in the world, you know, and looking around. He said, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" They're talking to each other. Listen, Satan is not this. He is the most hideous thing in the world. But God allows him to be right there because he created him perfect. He created him to do a job. But now he didn't create him to make him do a job. That would make God not a just God. If he created Satan for the sole purpose of him to be evil. No, he created him perfect. Just like I told y'all before. Adolf Hitler's spirit come from God. His soul. God said all souls are mine. It's hard to believe that, but it's not hard to believe if you'll understand. God is the only life giver. Satan can't give you life. He has no seed to base it from. That's where Adam and Eve came from. They came from the seed word of God. Then that little baby that was formed in a womb came from the seed word of God. His name was Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That Lucifer, the son of the morning, started all the trouble in the beginning. Then God, back before the foundation of the world was ever laid, when he seen what Satan done, see, he knew what Satan was going to do when he came here, but he couldn't make him any other way and be a just God. That's what I've said before. Every person then, everybody, it doesn't matter if it's an angel, they were created with a choice. I'll read it to you here in just a few minutes. How are you and I, the Bible says, you and I are going to judge angels. Well, judge angels? Well, they're just holy. No, Satan preached. Listen, Michael and Satan, Michael and Lucifer didn't get up there and have a WWE, World Wrestling Federation, knockdown drag out. And one of them tap out. No. What is the war today? It's not with flesh and blood and fighting. It's what? Spirits. It's preaching. Satan preached his sermon to a third or two-thirds of the angels, and they took his lie, and then God cast them out of heaven. Is that all right? So let's read this right here. Just keep on reading this right here. And his pride went over in the north and set up a kingdom and fought against Michael and his angels. The right-hand man of Almighty God was Lucifer, the son of the morning, the first. God granted him almost co-workers with him. He was a co-worker, partly equal with him, only Satan could not create. So Satan has no seed. He has no origin. He can't, something cannot originate from him. That's why he has to take and pervert. Amen? All the things we do in life, Satan can pervert it and just twist it just a little way, and it becomes perverted. Because what is adultery? We as human beings, we're supposed to procreate, but we're supposed to do it the right way. We're supposed to marry. Amen? Right? That's what God set up. Now, if we do it right, then we're okay. But what does Satan do? He takes that and makes adultery out of it and turns it in. The right act turned wrong. Preaching of the gospel. Everything's got a right and a wrong. But Satan took something. Look, God is the only creator. But Satan took something that God created and perverted it back into something else, evil. Right. Amen? In the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve perfect. Right. And full of God. Yeah. Going to get a little touchy here, like Brother Dale said this morning. They weren't sinners. Right. Sin had not entered the picture yet. Right. Now, it was in heaven, and it cast... You know, he got cast down into the earth, but he didn't create Adam a sinner. He created Adam from the spoken word of God and then put that word inside of him. Same thing with Eve. So Satan's watching it, and he's going, okay, I got an idea, but I got to fight here. I got to get me some subjects first. So let's go to Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Wasn't war in the Garden of Eden. It was war in heaven. I'm reading the Bible. Revelation 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. See, the problem with Satan is he didn't know that Michael was God.
Right.
Michael's Christ.
Amen.
Not a different person.
Nope.
Right. I done told you. Satan thinks he's pretty fast. But he's only second fast. Amen? He's only second rate. God can be right here today and appear to me and you today. Now, we know not in body form. We know that. But he can appear and give you the Holy Ghost and be in China in less than a split second and give the Holy Ghost to the same person. So now tell me he's not pretty quick. So there stands God, and he's talking to Satan, and all of a sudden here comes a form comes out. If Michael was Christ, and we know the Christ was a Logos,
right.
Amen?
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
But he sees that and he goes, wait a minute. I told you, that's how Satan got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism idea. I mean, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Trinitarian idea.
Yeah.
He sees God standing here and he sees another form go out. And then he remembers in his mind that God said, let us create man in our own image and let's make them a God. Genesis 1:26. And there goes Adam. Out of the Logos. And here's Adam. And here's Michael. And God's still standing there. And Satan's going, I think I can make three out of them. And I'm going to feed it to them because I know there's just one. The Bible tells us that the devil believes in one God and trembles, but he tells us down here that we got a Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We got three different persons or some kind of three-headed monster. No. Listen, it's like Brother Dale said this morning. The Bible tells us that the Godhead can be easily understood by the things we see. What do we see? We see that, as he said before, but I'm going to use Dad because Dad wasn't Dad when he was born. Dad was a child. Right? But then Dad and Mom gets together and has the perfect one first. But now look, it makes him, he can't say anything, he's in church. It makes him father though. You got that? Now it's the same guy.
Right.
Same personality. Same Samuel Waddell that was born April the 16th in 1940. But he grew up and took a position of father when he had me. Now did it change his personality? No. Probably made him a little more aggravated when the other two came along. But it made him a father. Amen? Now remember though, when he was born, he became the son of Sam Dale.
Right?
He became the son of Sam. Now I'm looking at the same guy. He became the son of Samuel, of Sam Dale. Then he became the father of Samuel Waddell II. That is my name. Then he became the father of them other two. But now, has he changed persons? But now remember, he's a human with limited ability. Because God's not. God's not a one with limited ability. He's all-knowing. He's there. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He knew how many kids he was going to have. Dad didn't.
Right?
But God being God knew how many children he was going to have, so that made him a father. He's going to be a father. But he came down and become the son to die on the earth for me and you, the Son of Man. Amen. I like that, like Brother Dale said. Brother Brown said the only way God could be a father was to be a son first. To be a son. He didn't send a son. I wouldn't send Josh to die for me. What kind of father would that be? But then he, the same man later on in life, became a grandfather. And a pastor. And you just keep naming titles, but you only got one guy. You take that same thing with God Almighty in human flesh. He was God Almighty and he went and stepped into human flesh by creating a seed that came from where? Not from the earth. Because see, my natural seed, this is what I wanted to get into. If I don't get anything else, we may stop right here. My natural seed came from this earth. From him. You understand what I'm saying? The natural seed of me came from him. Right? That's the way it was foreordained back in what happened in the garden. And we'll get into that later on. Right? So my literal, what you see right here, come from this earth. But now remember, that's not the spoken word seed of God. That's permitted of God to get you here so that you can make a choice whether to receive the seed word of God or the seed of discrepancy or the seed of the devil. I shouldn't be getting close to y'all. I'll stand back up here. I'll put my mask on if I walk down there again. Tony's looking at me going, just lean over a little bit. But here we are, and we see that God, as he's standing there in the beginning, if you can't see it, I'm going to try to illustrate it about as good as I can. We know one thing's for sure. God's not an old man. As the pictures portray him, as you know, I was telling you before, when June went to the Baptist, had her jaunt with the Baptist church for the second time, she come home with this book and she was so excited. Bless her heart. Remember, women can be deceived a lot more than men. Just remember that. But she brings this book. Amen. She brings this book home. Nice glasses. She brings this book home and she says, "We're studying this. Don't touch me. We're studying this." And I looked on there, and she'll verify it. It said, "Experiencing God." And it was a book about this big. And it had all the little sweet little things somebody from a college somewhere out west or something wrote in the book. Do you tell them what the picture was? Very old. It looked like Rip Van Winkle. Bald headed, long hair, stick in his hand, like this. Experiencing God. I told her, I said, "That's not my God. That may be the devil's God that he wants you to see. But the God I see," like Brother Brown said, you see now, he said, "A kid, a child playing before the Father's door." And you know what? Most children, you give them a bunch of toys, man, they go to town. Well, what about if you give this being unlimited power? We're going to get into that, "Let there be light," in just a little while if we get to it. Because that little kid, that little 20-year-old God that never was old. God's not 1 second as old now as he was when he said, "Let there be light." Not 1 second. If not, he's not God. So he's always been 20 years old. You say, "How do you know that?" Well, Brother Dale was talking about it this morning. When that man that looked 50, he wasn't 50, he looked 50. Bible says you look 50. You know, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He said, you look 50 years old. No, he was only 30 some odd years old, right? But he looked very old because of his time on earth. But now remember, Mary Magdalene knew that guy. Right? Mary Magdalene, for 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, she followed him looking at that guy. Okay? That's the picture of the guy she had in her mind. Everybody got that? Say amen. Alright? But now remember, when he raised from the dead and stepped out of the tomb, he couldn't have looked like that. That was his earthly time. That was his earthly journey. He was a young boy because Mary Magdalene, she turned around and she said, "What have you done with my Lord?" Thought he was the gardener. When you said, talk about this morning, the two that went to Emmaus, they had walked with Jesus for that same 3.5 years. They knew him as that person right there. But when he stepped out of the bushes and walked down through there, he was in another form. What? He was in the form. I believe he was back into the form, besides the nail scars for me and you, he was back in the form where he said, "Let there be." When he stepped out of that tomb, he said, "All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me." He went all the way back to eternity. And he said, "Hey, I'm the same guy. But guess what, Thomas? This was for you. I didn't have these nail scars when I was back in eternity. Didn't need them." He said, "But I had to do this because of you." And he said, "I'll keep these." He said, "I'll be happy to live in this body. I'll be happy to live in this body." But it doesn't look like that. So here's God standing in eternity, and he's standing there, and he's 20 years old, and he's going, Milky Way. Sun. Earth. Right here. I don't want you to go any further, because I need some people to live on this one. You don't think that way? I do. When I read that Genesis account, I think, man, he's like, fish in the water. Got some water here. He said, it's not really that cold or not really that warm. Let's make some kind of fish that'll go in that warm water. Because hey, some fish that'll go in warm water and some won't go in warm water. What a variety that God is. But what the problem is, though, is you got somebody following him. So that's how you did that. Because remember, in Satan's mind, he's working on his own. He's working on his own kingdom. Right. He sees God setting up his kingdom and just going, "Let there be. Let there be. Let there be." And there was. He could stand there for an eternity and go, let there be, and he get nothing. But Satan, remember, the perversion that Satan had was, as he said, I'm going to take everything that he's doing, and I'm going to twist it just a little bit. And I'm going to have them people worship me, because my kingdom is going to look prettier. Cain, my sacrifice is going to look much better. Nimrod, my city is going to be the biggest city. Huh? Right? But we got to get out of the Garden of Eden first. But look, but there was war in heaven. Let's pull back up Revelation 12. I kind of get off a little bit there. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So there was a separation in heaven. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan. So we know who that was. And I have a quote, I didn't bring it, but Brother Branham said, Satan, they believe Satan's sermon. So Michael, like I said, Michael and Lucifer wasn't up here doing this. No, I believe God showed him his plan, and I believe Satan showed him his plan. And Satan took part of them with him because of their choice, and God had part of the ones that chose him. How else are you going to say it? So watch. And he was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. So where is the devil? The devil's not in hell. That's where he's going. He's here. He came from what? Another dimension into this dimension to do what? To try to destroy God's creation. Amen? He went into God's Eden and destroyed it. Now we'll watch later on how that God's going to come into Satan's Eden and he's going to take out a bride. And Satan's going to hate it. That's why I said Satan hates revelation. He hates us to know where we come from, what we're doing here, and where we're going. All right? And the great dragon was cast out in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. How many times have I told you that God tells us that if we will ask him to forgive us of our sins, that he will place it in the sea of God's forgiveness according to the Old Testament, never to be remembered again. God's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can erase his memory. Because the devil's going to go, don't you remember he did? God's going, mm-mm. What sins are you talking about? I love that song. What sins are you talking about? The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us day and night. I don't know if he does that to you, but he sure does it to me. He reminds me of all the things that I did. All the wrongs that I did. And you know what? Listen, don't go to God and ask forgiveness for the same sin over and over again. Unless you don't think that you really got forgiveness. But if you get forgiveness of that sin, God's just, you know, the Lord's going to look at you and go, what sin are you talking about? Because I thought he was coming back after a sinless, perfect, white-robed bride of Jesus Christ. Not us go to heaven and get it. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get your white robe here. You carry it there with you. Oh, that ought to make you feel good. How that all that, even God standing there and all this chaos going on with the devil, and he's going, that's all right. That's okay. I got my people. And you know where I had them? I had them, Satan, where you couldn't find them. I had them right here. I had them right here. And this is where I keep them. That great album that God took a picture of you. Like I said before, if God's a 20-year-old God, guess what you and I are going to be when we get to glory? When we take a body change, we're going to change right back just like Jesus did. We're not going to change back. Why would Donnie want to strive off his whole life being 71 years old? Why would he want to strive to be a good Christian, and even if something does happen and he passes away, that he's going to raise back up like that? Me too? Brother, they all of us. No. We don't have a hope. We have an assurance that if we do have to go into another dimension and we have to sleep, we don't die. If we have to sleep, that 20-year-old body that God had before the foundation of the world put up in His mind. That's why you and I have to come. We have to come natural seed first because of what happened in the fall. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Because of what happened in the fall, we got to come this way because we'll read it in a minute where Jesus, or you can say Jesus or the Creator said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. Now remember, Satan was standing there. He was going, now he said that. Let's see if we can make it come to pass. Because I don't have a seed for myself. Right? Satan don't have a seed. He's not a person as far as that is. He's not a human being. He's a spiritual being. So he can't procreate. He can't, and Jesus never procreated either. Y'all, we gotta get that. We came on this side of the act. Remember, the spoken word is the original seed. Not from the loins of man, not from an act. It comes from this act. He stood there and said, let there be. And there it was. All right, so let's go through this a little bit more. Here we go. And heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? What does Lucifer mean? I showed you here in the Greek lexicon. Lucifer means the light bearer, shining one, morning star. You know, Jesus was called the morning star. Satan wants to be called just like him. He don't want to be. He everything around him is darkness. But remember, he had a light. So let's look at this just a second. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which doest weaken the nation, which didst? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. See, he got cast out, so he's got to go try to get back up, Brother John. He's trying to get back up that way. Trying to get back in heaven. I will ascend. Ascend is up. I will ascend into heaven and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's in the congregation around here. All of us. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now remember, there's a position he wants to be like God, but if you read over in the book of Revelations here, we'll get it maybe Wednesday night, he wants to be God. Right. He don't want to be like God. Right. He wants to be God. Right. And you and I are not like God. Right. If you're born again today, you are God. Amen. Made manifest in another form. What? One of those other attributes that Satan can't understand because here stands the Creator. Right. And there went Adam and Eve. And then on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 little Jesuses created. Right. Satan can't understand that. You know why? Because he can't multiply like that. Right. He perverts what God has. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee, right here, this is it. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms? This guy that's powerless unless you give him the power? Oh, no, he anoints you. Satan anoints you just like God anoints you. And sometimes you can't tell the difference. Wow. All right, let's read number 9 here real quick, and then we're not going to get to let there be light. I wish we could, but we'll get to it Wednesday night. Number 9, that day at Calvary. Sin did not start on the earth. Sin started in heaven. Lucifer, the devil, was a condemned creature for his disobedience before he ever struck the earth. Now remember, it started in heaven. He was cast out to earth. Now remember, there's an idea in the denominational world that says that those spirits came down and, you know, became human beings. They can't do that. Okay, does everybody understand that? They cannot. You can be full of the devil, but it's because you let him in. But he can't just take, see, that's what I'm saying about, you look at God and you see how God set this whole thing up. That Satan can influence you all he wants to, but as long as God's in your soul, he can't get you.
Right.
He can't have you. He can't put his greasy hands, now he can beat this thing up, but he can't have that eternal person that's inside. That's why the new birth is so important. Not just a feeling, not just an emotion, not just I go to church every Sunday. But a real true revelation of what God's done for you in your soul. And being that God is in your soul, he's not going to deny the word. Never will he deny the word. The word can't deny the word. Satan can. Sin began in heaven where God put the angels and so forth upon the same basis that he put human beings on. So somebody asked me one time, a long time ago, said, how in the world did angels fall? They were holy created beings. Well, now, the Bible never said they were holy beings. The Bible said some of them sang holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. But he put them on the same. And see, that makes God continuity. That makes where that you read these scriptures, especially down here a little bit further. We're finished with that one. Let's go to Jude 1 verse 6. It says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment. Judgment of the great day. Everybody is going to be judged. Angels. Satan's already judged. Because he got cast out. But who's going to judge him? Ah. 1 Corinthians, let's skip that. We'll read number 10. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that you shall judge angels? Why would they need judging? They're free moral agents, just like me and you. How much more things that pertain to this life? Amen? Now let's go back, if you don't mind, let's go back and read quote number 10, then we'll close. Musicians, get ready to come. We'll talk about the light. Because remember, this is what I'm heading toward. Remember, Brother Luis was talking about this the other night, and I knew there was an answer to this. Because God told them, in the beginning, he said, let there be light. That was not the sun and the moon. They were created on the fourth day. This was the first day. What is that light? I'll tell you Wednesday night. We'll do some Paul Harvey the rest of the story. But it's real interesting though how that's weaved into the creation and how that the prophet of God makes one quote and it clears the whole thing up. Because you think, well, the sun needs to be here and the moon needs to be here. And now remember, because on the third day, plants started growing. They need photosynthesis. They need some kind of sunlight. We'll see in just a little while. Wednesday night, about 7:20 or 7:30. Same bat channel, same bat station. Right, Luis? Whatever that meant. I don't know. Greatest battle ever fought. Do this and we'll be done. Now, I believe the greatest battle that was ever fought is now ready to go into action. I believe that God has been selecting his soldiers. I believe he's been dressing them, training them, and the battlefront is now set, getting ready to start. This great first battle that was ever fought began in heaven when Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. It first started, the first battle was in heaven, so sin did not originate on earth, it originated in heaven. And then it was thrown down from heaven, cast out of heaven to the earth, and fell on human beings. It didn't fall in them. You say somebody's devil possessed. You have to be careful with that. Now, somebody can be completely motivated, but if that soul's still there, remember, there's always a chance of salvation. Doesn't matter how hideous. Adolf Hitler could have been saved if he wanted to be. Remember, the Bible says only blaspheming the Holy Ghost, there is no cure for that. There's no redemption for that. Everybody got that? Anything else, you can think of the worst murder you want to think of, that soul is still, before he dies, it is able to be saved by God. Amen? Believe that if you want to. I believe it. Everybody has a chance until that last breath comes. Except for one thing, and that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Look, and then it was thrown down from heaven, cast out of heaven to the earth, and fell on human beings. Then the battle from angels became human battles. Because remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood. That's scripture. But principalities and powers in high places. We're not fighting, as I said before, let's not put somebody's name in this that you may know of that has turned against the word or turned against the message. No. It's that spirit that we're talking about. We look at the characteristics of that other spirit, and it can get on you. Folks, have you not ever had a spirit get on you? Yeah. It'll get on you. But if you're a born again child of God, He can't touch your soul. And I'll promise you one thing's for sure. I don't care what battle you go through. If you're a son and daughter of God, as I said before, God, the Bible tells us the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and until your time is up, and if you're a child of God and God looks at you and says, that's as far as I need you to go, you ought to be pleased with that. But you will not go before then. Don't let the devil sit here and tell you. See, I've had little things going on for the past couple of weeks. Still got a little bit going on now. But you know that little thing sits right here and goes, you're going to die. And I told it something the other day, and it left me alone for a little while. You know what? The Bible says that the devil, in the temptation of Jesus, what happened? He was right there. But remember, the Bible says Satan left him for a season. Right. He didn't leave him forever. Nope. He left even the Almighty God in human flesh. He was what? Sitting there buffeting him. But you know what? If something ever comes in your mind and says, you're dying, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to take your life, know one thing's for sure, that's not God.
Right.
Your Heavenly Father, your Savior, your Redeemer would never come to you and say, I'm going to kill you. He'll never come to you. And so all you do is say, liar.
Amen.
Liar. Until my daddy's finished with me. Oh, yeah, we may go through problem. But what is it for? I thought the Bible said it was for our perfection. For our perfection. So who wants to come to perfection? We all do. And Satan came to destroy God's creation. Musicians, come on. What God had created to be for Himself, Satan came to destroy this. That's what His purpose was to destroy it. Then the battle began here on earth and began in us and has been raging ever since. Let's stand to our feet. Been raging ever since. So we look at what happened in the Garden of Eden. That wasn't the first sin. That was the first sin down here on earth.
Right.
Amen? So God couldn't make the devil do these things, but He created him perfect. He created him beautiful. Knew what He was going to do, but you know what? I believe He looked at, when He created Lucifer, I believe He looked at him and said, look, buddy, you're my right-hand guy. If you'll stay in your position and do what you're supposed to do and not exalt yourself above me, I'm going to put you in a position that no one else is going to have but you. But remember, the devil couldn't stand that. God knew it before he created him. So you know what he had? He already had the lamb slain before the foundation of the world up here in his mind. He already had me and you preserved, and every Christian from the dawn of time till today, he had us preserved right here. I don't believe, Brother John, I don't believe, God didn't tell Satan the whole story. He told him what he needed. You're my worship angel. You're my anointed guy. You're my right-hand guy. You can't create. Let me do the creating, because remember, when God's first son came on earth, because remember, the Bible says Adam was the first, was the son of God. Amen? What did he tell Adam? Basically, you take care of the earth, I'll take care of heaven. See, Satan couldn't do that. Satan couldn't be submissive, because I believe Adam was submissive. I believe Adam said, oh, I know you're my creator. I know that I came from you. See, but Satan didn't do that. Satan said, I know I came from you, but I'm a whole lot better than you are. You see what the difference is? Watch the difference real quick before we close. What's the difference? I want you to chew on this till Wednesday night. What's the difference in these two scenarios? Here's Moses. Here's Moses. Moses is standing here. He's got all these millions of people. He's got all these problems and yada, yada, yada. And here comes Jethro, which is his father-in-law, right? Jethro walks up and says, now, Moses, that's just too much for one man to do. Why don't you get somebody to help you out here? Now listen, God honored that by what? Took the spirit off of Moses and put it on 70 different people to take care of the situation. Right. Now what did Jethro do? Jethro said, now, Moses, you're taking too much on yourself, right? Now, out into the wilderness we come, here comes Dathan and Korah. The first thing they do, they walk up and says, Moses, you take too much on yourself. Same thing! But look at the outcome. God knew Jethro's heart. He was trying to help Moses. Dathan and Korah was trying to set up something that Moses didn't need. Because they were going out here and they were talking amongst their... They brought like 250. I've been reading it in the Bible. They brought like 250 of the best men. Devil always gets the best men. 250 of the best men, and they go, Moses, you ain't the only man in the camp. You see the difference, though, in the two scenarios? It was almost exactly the same. It was the approach. Your approach to God means all in the world. Everything in the world comes from that approach. Jethro approached him and said, Moses, you're about to die up here. You're having a nervous breakdown because you got 2 million people trying to tell you what to do. And get you some people and let them help you. Well, see, Dathan and Korah was the same way, but Dathan and Korah had in their heart that they were going to be. See, Satan, the same thing. Satan can't get away from that cycle. He wants to be just something better than what God's put on the earth. Same thing with us. He wants to be just a little bit better. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Two spirits. There's only two. And if Satan, let's go back to Lucifer. If Lucifer, because that was his first name, Lucifer was created perfect. If he would have stayed in his position, he'd have been all right. But God knew he could not stay in his position. So therefore, he couldn't stop him. He let him be a free moral agent. Same way with the angels. He said, all right, here's what we're going to do. What happened in the Moses and Dathan and Korah scenario? God steps down and he says, if you're with Moses, you need to get over here. Basically, it's what he said. Moses said, if you're with me, get over here. Because what's going to happen to them, Dathan, Korah, and their whole family? The Bible says they walked out from their tent. He called them out. Moses called them out of their tent and rebuked them and told them, said, today, you've made a choice. And there's something will happen that's never happened before. And the earth literally opened up. And not just Dathan and Korah, their whole family. Tent, house, and all went into the ground and shut up. And as soon as it did, God took fire off the censer and killed them 250 people that were renowned men that were of, some kind of stature. Because what? They rebelled against God. There's your two spirits, but they were so close. They may deceive the very elect. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
You know, God's the only one that can give life. Satan can't give life. God's the only life giver there is. And what you do with it is your choice. But because somebody died on a cross, God Almighty, in human flesh, He wasn't going to trust the Son to come down. He wasn't going to trust another person. No, He came Himself. He said, I'm going to take care of this mess. I'm not going to send I've already had a right-hand guy, and he kind of messed up. No, I'm not going to send a right-hand guy. I'm coming Myself. Because I'm the only one that can stand on earth and say, destroy this body, and I'll raise it back up. You can't say that. I can't say that. Nobody can say that but God Almighty. He said, you touch this body, I'll raise it back up. And not only raise it back up, Brother John, I'm going to come back on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to divide Myself out. Satan's going, ha, it'll make you really weak, buddy. You're going to get really, really weak, you know. If you keep dividing yourself up like this, you know. God's like, nah. You just wait, Satan. You think I'm pretty rough. I got 120 just like me down there on earth now. And I've got 3,000 down there just like me now. And I've got a bride in the end time that's just like me down there. And we were put on this earth for a purpose, is to destroy the effects of the devil. Now look, we can't destroy the devil. He gets destroyed in the lake of fire. But we can destroy the effects of the devil that he has on me and you. Amen?
Amen.
That's
you,
what
Jesus.
We can destroy, because he has no power.
Thank you, Lord.
Except
Thank
what you, power Lord. We give it. So go with God. Let's sing this one more time.
The church and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Sing it to him right now.
Oh, because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Think about that.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because because he lives.
Live for God. That's all we got, folks. Live for God.
Amen.
Let's do our best. Even in our best, we might fail. But as I said before, let's get our house and make sure it's all swept and garnished. You say, oh no, that was back in sanctification. I thought Paul said I die daily. There's a daily sweeping out of your house. This house. A daily sweeping out. Sometimes we have things that heap upon us, and I promise you one thing for sure. If you'll do what God said. If you'll do what God said. If you have a fault with your brother, go to him. If there's anything, you know it. I don't have to know it. Brother Dale don't have to know it. You know it. I know the things I do because I live with me. I don't know, Brother Ryan. I don't sit in a chicken truck with you every day. But God does. And there's a Holy Spirit that's there. Sure, we know what's inside of us. But I was thinking about this, and I want to continue a little bit further on. There's an anointing. Brother Dale's talking about it. Different ones. Everybody's talking about there's an anointing. What you do with it. That's why when we pray now, right? When we pray, song leaders, when you come back in, you pray. When I pray with you, I say, God, let this brother use that anointing that he is anointed with. See, he's not anointed to preach in that situation. He's anointed to come out here and bring that anointing of worship to you to what? To clear back the fog. To clear back the fog. I read a quote yesterday where Brother Branham said, he said, when sin happened in the garden, he said there was a fog came on the earth. You remember there was a Holy Ghost veil over Adam and Eve. They were naked. Didn't know anything about that. And all of a sudden what happened there in the Garden of Eden, Brother Branham said there was a fog, and even a fog came over Adam's mind. A fog. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had lifted off the earth. Because remember, that Holy Ghost didn't appear back on the earth in human beings until Jesus came back on earth. Amen? Then now we got that here, but there's still that fog, and I believe that fog is lifting. I believe we're going to come to a place, listen, God is going to have preeminence. He will not take second best. He created you to be who you are, but you got to make a choice. I challenge you to read your Bible just a little bit more than you did before. Listen to one more tape than you listened to before. Listen to one more sermon of Brother Dale that you didn't listen to before. I challenge you to do that and say, God, I need an answer. We all have questions. God, I need an answer on this right here. How many times have you asked him and the preacher walk out here? Or you turn a tape on and you need an answer from God. And there's William Branham from 60 years ago. He says, oh, I see in the congregation, your brother, you're struggling with this problem. And it's you. And you're not sitting there. But God knows it. God knew it before the foundation of the world. How many times have you been listening to a tape and Brother Branham say, all of you that have a problem, he said, if you need prayer, I said, raise your hand. And as soon as mine went up the other day, he said, God bless you, brother. I mean, it was just like he knew it was me. I just went like this. He said, God bless you there, brother. You see what I mean? Listen, the Spirit of God has not left this earth. The Spirit of prophecy has not left this earth. The Spirit of healing has not left this earth. God takes his man. But he never takes his spirit. That same spirit is for me and you to take hold of. Read your Bible, pray, and study more than you've ever done before. Because we need it, because you know what? Satan is not out there. Sometimes you can smell his stinking breath. I don't know about you. You say, oh, the devil don't get that close to me. Well, pray for me. Because sometimes you can smell his breath come right over the side of you and say, hey, I'll get you. You're done for. I'll take you out of this world. And then you just look over and say, okay. But my daddy over here, he holds everything in his hand. You don't. You hold nothing. You have no power. Please use that sometime. And watch him. He'll move away. He'll give you some peace. Not Satan, but God will give you some peace when Satan moves away. Because I know he bombards us every day of our life. You know why? I'm going to give you a secret. You know why? Because he feels that same anointing that he felt on Jesus when he was combating him in the desert and combating him on the earth. He feels that same spirit, Brother Ryan, because we're not down here as babies anymore. We're right up here waiting for that headstone, which was Jesus Christ himself. So Satan feels that, Brother Luis, and he's not running from us though. He is so bold. He's right there in our face. But he cannot win. There's nowhere in the Bible Satan wins anything. So if we believe the word of God, take that with you. Use that against him. This thing's a sword. It's a lightsaber better than any lightsaber that anybody else could make. Amen. Harrison, this doesn't have anything to do with a lightsaber and Star Wars. No, this thing right here will cut you and do surgery and take out that meanness, take out that whatever you want to call it. He'll take that right out and never leave a scar. That's how fast that thing is. Brother John, God, I got this problem. And you go, that didn't even hurt. That's what that two-edged sword will do. That word, oh boy, when it cuts though. But when he takes that thing out. See, that's what we all need to be working on is, God, take this sword. Because it's the little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. You shouldn't be having... Listen, if you're not born again, you've got big problems. But if you're born again, you still got problems. But you've overcome. You've overcome the world. You've overcome the devil. You've overcome all of his imps. You've overcome every one of those 200,000 demons that have been released on me and you to drive us, what? Back to our homeland, which is the Word of God. Not back us to an earthly home. No, we're going to have that in 1,000 years or more. We'll have an earthly home here. Amen. Because John saw the new city coming down out of heaven. We're not going to go live on a cloud. We're going to live right here because we have conquered. And took over Satan's Eden. God bless you. I'm sorry. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, that we'll see those two spirits, Lord. And we'll realize that now, even as we speak, we know that Satan, he's pulling out all of his best demons to try to turn us away from you. But Father, you just told us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us, the ones at home, mom there, Lord. We read there in Isaiah 40 where you told us, Lord, you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Lord, this is such an instant world. We have microwaves and we have delivery service next day. Lord, I thought you taught us to have patience. You told us there in Isaiah 40 that they that will wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Father, forgive us of our sins and our daily mistakes that we make, Lord. The things against you, Lord, that not the big things, Lord, but the little things. Lord, that we do that's not pleasing to you, Father, we pray forgiveness. We pray that you'd bless each one here, Lord. Lord, give us something, Lord, to chew on for the rest of the time until Wednesday, Lord, we come back in service for you, Lord. We pray that you'd just sanctify us, Lord. You've given us your Holy Spirit, Lord. Now I pray that you'll give us an anointing to keep going, Father. Bless Brother Dale, keep him strong, Lord. Be with each one that are on the highway, Brother Joe there, Brother Richard. Coming home, Lord. We pray that you'd touch him, Lord. Satan would love to destroy us also. But Lord, cover us by your blood. And keep us safe until we come back together, Lord. To worship you in spirit and in truth. Give us this day, truly, Lord, our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Living inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Heavenly Father, I appreciate